Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness coming to you today from Newport Beach, California. I'm out here, had some things that I needed to do here, and I needed someone to drive me around, and I was so blessed to have my grandson, Jared Houle. And Jared has been with us, working with us in our, in the media.
I've helped.
And Jared, how old are you?
I'm 27.
27 years old. Oh my goodness. We were looking at family pictures recently, and there you were. That little curly hair, just the little Jud that we used to remember. And had a good family to grow up in, lots of cousins, and you all are still close. And you are the son of my second daughter, Brenda. And the people on that listen to the Voice of One Witness or watch us
familiar
on the webcast, they know Brenda very well.
Sure.
So they know your mother, and they know that your mother, I've told them that she's always had the gift of discerning of spirits. And Jared, it has operated in your life, in your brother's and your sister's life. Now, I know that when you were, on your 10th birthday, you had a vision of Jesus, right?
Yeah.
Can you tell us about that a little bit?
Well, my 10th birthday, when I was 9, Mom, there's some things that happened in my life.
Mm-hmm.
So, I had questions.
Your parents divorced.
My parents divorced, and we moved, so there's some close friends that I didn't see, and, you know, little 10-year-old questions. So when I was 10, that night...
On your birthday.
On my birthday, I had a dream of Jesus.
I think it was an open-eyed vision, wasn't it?
Well, if it's like Paul, I don't know if I was in the spirit.
Oh, yeah, right. Uh-huh.
But it was real.
It was real.
So I know it's spiritual. Uh-huh. Whenever I have a spiritual dream, it's more real than the natural. I actually wake up and it feels like I've woken up into something less real than what I was just experiencing.
Ah, because that realm is more real.
Right, and it's almost every time it's almost
that
like
dimension.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that was the first time that ever happened, and I was 10. And you want me to get into the details? Or
you can get in a little bit, yeah.
Well, it started off... my brother, he's 4 years younger than me, so I'm in the dream.
Brandon.
My
they
brother,
know Brandon.
Brandon. Yeah,
yeah.
My brother, mm-hmm. Brandon. And I'm in Jesus attire.
Mm-hmm. You're wearing this clothes of the times.
Yes.
Jesus walked
in. And
here.
I have him holding him in my arms, and there's a line, and it can go as far as the eye can see. It goes from the people, it turns into this tiny little dots to the top of the hill.
And it was people.
Yeah, it's people waiting in line to Jesus.
To see Jesus.
And Jesus was on top of this mountain, and he was like a bright light, like mm-hmm. a shining bright light. And so I stood there for a little bit waiting in line. There's no purpose or reason for me bringing him. Now I know there's other things as time's gone. But all of a sudden, that bright light came down to me. Jesus came to meet me, and all of a sudden, we were in a park, sitting on a park bench. I can tell you... there are things I specifically remember. The park bench, I could see the rocks in the park bench that had glaze over it. And I could, like, that I was sitting on, like little rocks that had glaze over the bench. I could remember how it was decorated for some reason. And Jesus just went on to, you know, to ask me some questions. He said, if you have any questions, feel free to ask them. And he came in the form.
Didn't he say, I came to answer your questions?
Yeah, I came to answer your questions, how he said
mm-hmm.
it. And he came in the form I was comfortable with, which was a kind of a kid my age.
You saw him like I think he would have been at the age he went to the...
This was what's really... Because I can remember him as Jesus, but as a young boy.
Mm-hmm.
He was 2 and 1.
Yes.
In the natural, it's hard to explain.
Mm-hmm.
But he was Jesus as a young person, but he was Jesus
mm-hmm.
at the same time. So I had some questions for him.
And he answered them.
And he answered him, yeah.
About what had just happened with your family,
yeah,
and other things.
And especially I remember my friends and how they're doing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think he told you some names that you were going to meet later in life.
Yeah, I wish I feel so bad now because I don't remember so much, but you guys seem to remember a little bit.
Yes, I remember this part of it, which I thought was just great. That's what makes me think it was an open-eyed vision. You said to Jesus, I am thirsty, I need a drink of water. and you went to get a drink of water, and you said, wait here till I come back.
Right.
You got a drink of water, you came back, and then he was still there.
Yep.
Then later on, you wanted your mother to see him. So you ran to get your mother, and when you came back, he was gone. Mm-hmm. And you, as a 10-year-old, said, your mother said, what did you learn from this? And you said, I learned that Jesus will do what you ask him, and if you forget to ask him, he doesn't do it. So you had forgotten to ask him to wait there for your mother to come. And so many things about this has happened. If anyone's ever heard Brandon give his story of why he didn't want to have any spirit beings appear to him, it was because some of these things were happening with you, happening with your mom, happening with your sister, and he just didn't want any part of it. But the Lord has overruled in his life, and one reason that he's overruled is because of these times. It is written in Acts chapter 2, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And so it's been the way of the Lord to deal with you in dreams. And I know every once in a while you'll call. You live now in full-time where?
Minneapolis, Minnesota.
How'd you get to Minneapolis? And tell us the story that really got you there. How did you get to Minneapolis, and what happened to you in your high school years?
You mean kind of my testimony?
Yes.
Well, in high school, my foundation, my relationship with the Lord is more based upon our family, but it wasn't a personal experience.
At that time when you were in high school?
Sure.
You come from this family that's all centered around the Word and around the Lord.
Sure.
But you, what?
I kind of went into what everyone was doing, what was cool, and, partying and the cool crowd, and kind of caught up into that lifestyle, and it got the only thing it did, it kept getting worse and worse till I was about the age of 20, and I ended up it came down to an experience where I was sitting down at a church. I went to a church service with my Uncle Chip, and he needed help to go to Nebraska, so I helped him, just assist him, and I was in service, and the Lord, it just came to me, make a decision.
Now, you probably were born again when you were little, but you were backslidden, don't you think? Or had you been born again?
No, I was born again.
Oh, yes.
But I was kind of thinking, I was thinking a flesh mind, like, I'm going to enjoy life and, enjoy what life has to offer and party it up and all that. When in reality, it only produced pain.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how I thought. So it came down to, okay, Jared, because I was like, if I'm going to go for the Lord, I'm going to go for the Lord. If I'm not, I'm just going to live the other way. So it came down to, okay, Jared, it's time.
And that was when your Uncle Chip was preaching?
That was during a service in Nebraska when Uncle Chip was preaching. And then a pastor came up to me and he said, Jared, right when I felt that, he said, Jared, it's time for you to make a decision in your life.
See, isn't that something? The Holy Ghost was working. He was that man yielded to the Holy Ghost when he said something to you.
And I felt like Paul, when his... he said his scales came off of his eyes, I felt like that. Like, it was just, like, something fell off. And that said, it was like darkness was lifted off. And I was like, what was I doing?
Mm-mm.
You know?
You came to your right mind.
And it wasn't, I tell everyone and parents who have young people and family that have them going through things and it looks horrible with what they're doing. The actions and the things I was bringing into the house, there was devils harassing my sister and my mother. They're taking authority over it, but it was dark.
You were bringing them in. They were casting them out.
Yeah. And it was dark. And that said, it was the prayers, and it wasn't them telling, they told me, I knew it was right, but it wasn't them constantly saying, you're wrong, you're doing this. It was the prayers and the fighting in the spirit that broke that.
And you knew they were praying in the spirit.
Oh, I knew they're praying for me. I just, I thought I didn't want to have anything to do with it. So
what about Hannah, Miss Hannah? People know that she's been a prayer ever since she was a little girl. What does she do about her big brother?
She never said anything to me. She never talked bad about me. She never said, Jared, I'm disappointed in you. All she did...
Now, how much older are you than Hannah?
6 years older than Hannah.
But your little sister, she's living for God. She's casting away devils.
She's not even in high school, and I'm out of high school, and she's... Yeah, she's
and she's and she's sending a tornadoes down the road. Hannah's always been a traveler, and so what would she do?
She would, I mean, for me, she didn't, she never came against me. She just dealt with it in the spirit. She's mm-hmm. always, specifically, you know, are you thinking a certain instance?
Well, or? She's told me that she would pray for you. She would say, Jared, I'm going to pray for you.
And oh, she, I'm sure I ignored those because I don't remember that.
Yeah, yes. But she did. She prayed for you. She carried you. Your mom prayed for you.
Sure.
And everybody prayed for you and stood for you. And you knew that everyone loved you.
Yeah, I knew everyone loved me. I knew everyone loved me. That there were some things, you know, being in a ministry family, the ministry and seeing things, the enemy flesh towards people he tried to get me to see, but it was never my family.
No.
I always knew I was loved. I knew the Lord was real. There's two things. There was kind of a fence. I thought people need to be real. And then there's another, like, people aren't being real, is what I thought, like, in the church.
That was the devil.
And then a number two was, I want to live my life and enjoy it. Both of them were false lies.
Most of them were lies of the devil.
Yeah.
Okay, so you were in the meeting in Nebraska, and then what happened?
And then I changed my life, and, well, I didn't change, the Lord changed mine, and...
Was it like day to night?
It was like
night
to
day.
And I called...
night to day.
I called Mama Jenkins.
Oh, and, Mama Jenkins. And oh, I, Mama Jenkins.
And I knew her before...
Now, Mama Jenkins,
I changed.
She's our dear friend, black lady, who was brought up and traveled a lot with Smith Wigglesworth. And we met Mama Jenkins. Oh, how old were you? You weren't living for God. I know that.
I was just out of high school.
Just out of high school.
So I was 19.
And Mama Jenkins took a real... She took after you.
Sure.
Now, we'll start about that tomorrow. We'll talk about Mama Jenkins and her influence on your life, and some of the things that you discussed with her and talked about with her. She passed away in 2012 in...
Thanksgiving time.
Well, actually, it was 2011. She passed away at the end of 2011, and she would have been 103 years old in February of 2012. She came here for our autumn assembly at the end of October. She cooked my Terry's. She cooked him a birthday dinner, November 2nd, 2011. And then she drove in her van, herself 102 years old. She drove up to Maryland, her home. She was going, but she went by the way of Pennsylvania, went to a wedding, went to Maryland, and she went to be with her Lord. But she said she moved so in the supernatural, Jared.
Yeah.
And she said that she believed she was sent to our family. And she was sent initially to you. Mm-hmm. And so we'll have you tell about some of those things tomorrow, and then we'll talk more about God's dealing in your life after you came to really give your life to Him, and what things He's even showing you right up to date.
Sure.
And so it's really neat to be here in California. We're here in the bedroom, and we're saying shalom, shalom in a hotel, from a hotel to you, and we'll greet you again tomorrow. So be with us tomorrow as we go again into the life and God's dealings with Jared.